This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
You're listening to Things They Don't Tell Her. Everything you don't get taught about periods, pregnancy, and postpartum. I'm going to take you on a journey back to sex ed and teach you what really matters. Ladies, it's time you felt empowered in your bodies. I'm your host, Caitlin Pender, founder of Her Women's Health. And I'm sharing tips to optimize your fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum journey. All right, well, let's get started. So we all know that we're meant to do our Kegels in pregnancy and postpartum. We've all heard about the pelvic floor, and most of us know that it's something that we're meant to be more aware of during pregnancy. But so often I have women who fly through their first pregnancy, second pregnancy, and it's not until after they start getting symptoms or problems that they come to see me. And this has to change, getting around why it's so important so that you mamas understand why to seek help early, because prevention is always better than the cure. So first of all, let's go through and understand what the pelvic floor is, because most of us have a vague understanding, but I think we can always do with a bit of refreshing of our anatomy, especially our anatomy over our vulva and down there. Most of us are so used to keeping a little black box over our private bits that we don't even know about our own. First of all, the pelvic floor is the muscle and connective tissue running from the pubic bone at the front to the tailbone at the back. So it's not the inner thighs, it's not the belly, it's purely those muscles. And if you placed your thumb and your palm along from the pubic bone to the tailbone, that's where you'd find your pelvic floor. And it's a really large muscle group. I think often we think it's just the area that spans the vulva, but it's actually the whole floor of the pelvis. It's not just a clever name. It's quite literally the floor of the pelvis. And it's an extremely important muscle. So I don't know why it gets forgotten about so often, because it plays some extremely important roles. It plays a role in preventing leakage of urine and feces, allowing you to eliminate your bladder and your bowels when it's convenient. It supports and holds up your internal pelvic organs. So that's your bladder, your bowel, and uterus for women. And it has a really large role in sexual pleasure and orgasm. So if we think about how important these roles are, we can start to understand that we probably don't want something to be going wrong with our pelvic floor. I think the pelvic floor is so fundamental, and it's something that we often ignore until there's a problem. And in general, as a society, we don't like talking about these things. Poos, wees, and sex is literally the main roles of the pelvic floor. And these three things we don't like talking about when they're going well, let alone when they're going badly. And often it takes women years to seek help if they have a problem. So most women that I see who are experiencing, whether it's pain with intercourse or pelvic organ prolapse or urinary incontinence, they won't come and see me often until 5 to 10 years down the track. So that's a long time to just put up with a problem, especially when it's a problem that we can get on top of so easily if we have the right education, the right tools, and the right support. So I think in understanding why it's so important to do pelvic floor exercises in pregnancy, it's understanding what happens if we don't, because that is what is going to encourage us to do it. Before I worked a lot and predominantly with pre and postnatal women, I spent some time working in Hervey Bay. Now, for those of you from Queensland, Hervey Bay is the place that they call, what do they say? The place of newlyweds and nearly deads. So it's a very large retirement area. And a lot of women there are freshly retired. They're around postmenopausal age. And that's often when the pelvic floor starts to create real problems, and when slight problems that might have occurred throughout their adult years until menopause were not such an issue. But as soon as the estrogen levels drop, that creates significant problem. So I worked up there and I worked very closely with a gynecologist who operated on prolapse surgery and did repairs when there were significant problems with urinary leakage or pelvic floor dysfunction. And so I would get every client that she was seeing that she intended to operate on would come and see me for a pelvic floor assessment first to determine whether we could get on top of their problem without needing surgery. So this meant that I got a lot of exposure to very significant pelvic floor dysfunction and very significant prolapse. So one of the main things that we want to prevent is pelvic organ prolapse, which is when one of the pelvic organs, and that could be the bladder, the bowel, or the uterus, starts to descend down into the vagina. And it essentially looks like a small balloon. It's a pouch of skin that starts to descend down into the vagina, and it can be to varying degrees. So a really significant stage four prolapse that's almost like a tennis ball is sitting on the outside of the vagina. I'm not saying this to scare you, but I'm saying this to encourage you that this is why it's so important to do your pelvic floor exercises. So when this happens, symptoms can occur such as significant urinary incontinence and lack of control of the bladder. There can be significant discomfort in sitting, if you can imagine, when you're sitting on that area, difficulties with intercourse, issues with passing a bowel motion. So if it is a rectal prolapse, which is when the rectum starts to descend down, this can actually cause some constipation and difficulties emptying the bowels because the bowel wall has started to descend down vaginally, and now some women have to splint that wall and actually hold it while they're trying to pass the bowel motion to get that extra support and to ensure that they can empty their bowels properly. So at all costs, we want to absolutely avoid prolapse. It's not something that is easily reversible once we get to peri and postmenopause. However, during pregnancy and postpartum especially, it is significantly treatable and reversible, in fact. So a prolapse can be reversed almost a whole grade just with pelvic floor exercises alone, but it can be during that early postpartum period. I think of the pelvic organs almost like a mold of clay, and then it sets, and it tends to set around 12 to 18 months postpartum. But in that period beforehand, we have so much chance for recovery. And often if a prolapse is really significant, then a women's health physio may suggest a pessary, which is kind of like a menstrual cup that's inserted vaginally that holds the prolapse up and allows the muscles and connective tissue to heal around it. And in studies where they've looked at 3-month reviews, 6-month and 12-month postpartum reviews after using a pessary, by 12 months, the prolapse is almost completely gone. So this is why early intervention is key, because if we can pick it up really early postpartum, if there is a prolapse or even in pregnancy, if there's so much that we can do to treat it and to reverse it. The longer that we leave it away from the birth, the harder it becomes to treat. So that's a little bit about prolapse in a nutshell. The other main two things that are caused by pelvic floor dysfunction is urinary and fecal incontinence. And urinary incontinence affects 1 in 3 women, which is really significant after birth. So it's really important that we get on top of it early, that we strengthen the pelvic floor, that we know how to properly contract the pelvic floor, and that we know that urinary leakage when we cough or sneeze is not normal. It's really common, but it's not something that we should put up with. And there is a very easy fix. The second thing is pain with intercourse, which is really common, surprisingly common. I think the statistic is 1 in 5 at the moment. 1 in 5 women experience pain with intercourse. So pain with intercourse is a huge sign that the pelvic floor is overactive, and this can impact birth significantly and can lead to increased risk of tearing, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it's important to understand that pain with intercourse, pelvic organ prolapse, and urinary incontinence are really common, and they're not normal, and there's so much that we can do about it. So during pregnancy, if we can assess the pelvic floor and even preconception, but especially during pregnancy, if we can assess what the pelvic floor is doing so that we know whether you can properly turn on your pelvic floor. I have a lot of women who can turn on their pelvic floor on and off, but don't know how to contract it quickly or don't know how to contract it and hold it on. And also a lot of women who aren't good at relaxing the pelvic floor. So we'll come to that in a minute, but identifying early if you can contract and relax significantly improves the risk of urinary incontinence and pelvic organ prolapse and ensures that we get on top of any pain with intercourse that you might be having, because this is going to minimize the risk of birth trauma. So the pelvic floor can be anywhere on a spectrum from really overactive to really underactive. And the most important thing to understand, which is why there is no one-size-fits-all prescription, is that everyone is so different. Some women will have quite an underactive, stretchy pelvic floor, which is more common postpartum and postmenopause, but it is also, it's not always the case. So signs of an underactive pelvic floor most commonly are things like heaviness and prolapse, as well as urinary incontinence. So leaking when you cough, sneeze, run, jump, leaking on the way to the toilet if you're busting. So all of these things might indicate that your pelvic floor is underactive. However, these symptoms can also occur when the pelvic floor is overactive. So an overactive pelvic floor symptoms are pain with intercourse, pain with tampon insertion, pain with a speculum during a pap smear, pain with urination. Constipation is a really common sign that the pelvic floor is overactive. And when the pelvic floor is overactive, it does not mean it's strong. I think a lot of women think that if their pelvic floor is overactive, it must be on all the time, which is an indicator that it's strong. But no skeletal muscle in the body is meant to be working all of the time. And so the pelvic floor, if it's trying to be held on all the time, gets really fatigued and then doesn't work when we require it. If you imagine, if I was to give you a little 1 kilo dumbbell and ask you to hold that dumbbell above your head as long as you could, you're walking around and an hour passed and your arm's starting to get really tired and sore, and then 2 hours pass and finally you just give up and you're like, I cannot hold this dumbbell anymore. So you put the dumbbell down and then I say, hey, do you mind lifting that bag of groceries onto the bench? And your arm is so fatigued and this normally very easy, mundane task is now very challenging and can't be done. So if the pelvic floor is really fatigued from always being held on, then the ability to easily contract when you need to, like when you cough or sneeze, or to contract and hold for long periods, diminishes. So understanding that there's this spectrum of overactive to underactive is really important when it comes to prescribing the right exercises. In the middle of the spectrum is essentially an optimal pelvic floor. It's a pelvic floor that can contract and relax, that you have good pelvic floor awareness and good awareness of what is happening in the pelvic floor, good ability like other muscles in the body to contract and relax, to contract quickly, to contract in different intensities and with endurance, so longer holds. On the other side of optimal and in between optimal and overactive is what I call hypertonic pelvic floor, which is more and more common these days, because the pelvic floor is really highly innervated by our nervous system. There's a lot of nerves around the pelvic floor, which is why it makes it quite an unusual muscle in the body, because it's so innervated by nerves and it's significantly controlled by our emotional brain. That is why the pelvic floor can play a large role in arousal and orgasm. And orgasm is the pelvic floor relaxing and releasing. So understanding these things helps to give awareness to, okay, well, what's your pelvic floor doing? And when it is innervated so highly by our emotional system, if we are stressed or scared, then the pelvic floor can tighten up. And if you've ever seen a dog, when it's frightened or scared, it tucks its tail under. And I like to think of the pelvic floor, as I said, it's an extension of our tailbone, as our tail. So often, because it's innervated by our emotional brain, when we're stressed and we're scared, when we're nervous and we're anxious, we start to tense the pelvic floor. And because we have so much disconnection from the pelvic floor, often we don't know what's going on down there. We don't even know that we're tensing it. Unlike our jaw, which we also tend to clench and create tension in the jaw when we're stressed, the pelvic floor is really often doing the same thing, but we're not aware of it because of this lack of awareness, this disconnection with the pelvic floor. So the aim in pregnancy is to rebuild that connection, to have really good awareness of what's going on in the pelvic floor so that you know that you can contract and relax when it comes to labor and birth, and then have this understanding of the different functions and the different roles of the pelvic floor, much like we train all of the other muscles in our body, so that postpartum we can optimize pelvic floor function and return to everything that we want to be doing safely and efficiently. So understanding, as I said, that there's these two different sides of the spectrum and that every woman is so different and that you could sit anywhere on that spectrum, helps you to understand why, if some women have trouble inserting a tampon and another woman has trouble holding a tampon in because their pelvic floor is so underactive, so relaxed, how different the birth experience and the ease of passing a baby through the birth canal is going to be. I'm a strong believer that the pelvic floor and the ability for the pelvic floor to relax has a significant impact on birth trauma. And there's studies and research coming out more and more now to support perineal massage. But I think the pelvic floor is also significantly involved. It hasn't been significantly researched yet, but I think over the next few years, we'll start to see more and more research coming out. Because if the pelvic floor is so overactive that there's pain with intercourse or there's pain with tampon insertion, the pelvic floor has very little ability to completely relax. And the pelvic floor flexibility is significantly reduced. And this is like flexibility anywhere in our body. If our hamstrings are really tight, and they've studied this in soccer players, there's much higher chance that a soccer player will have a hamstring tear. So if we apply that same principle to the pelvic floor, if the pelvic floor is tight and overactive or hypertonic and not able to relax, there's going to be a much greater risk of tearing and tearing of the perineum and could potentially impact on a longer labor duration. So, so important to learn early on and to identify what your pelvic floor is doing so that you can start the right exercises to either learn how to contract it or how to relax it and to start releasing the pelvic floor if it is really tight and overactive. The next thing it does is it improves postpartum recovery time. And this is due to the amount of blood supply to the pelvic floor that increases with exercise. So much like your muscles get bigger and hypertrophy when you go to the gym, you probably notice that you start to get more defined, more toned. There's more fiber recruitment. There's better blood supply. And you also have a better recovery. Pelvic floor muscle, just like any muscle that we start to train, starts to hypertrophy and it gets more blood supply. And it also has a better recovery time. So if you think about the first time that you went to the gym or lifted weights, you probably felt really sore the next day. But after a while, your body adapts and the blood supply to the muscle improves. And so the recovery time improves and you don't start to feel, you're not significantly sore like you might have been at the beginning. So the pelvic floor is no exception. And when we contract and relax the pelvic floor frequently through pregnancy, it builds hypertrophy in the muscle. We gain increased blood supply, which is going to help with healing and recovery postpartum. There's also that increased awareness and knowing how to actually contract and relax properly and knowing how to train it so that we're doing the right exercise in the early postpartum period. And often if I've seen a woman during pregnancy, she's far more likely to get to 6 weeks and have already had much greater improvement in her pelvic floor strength and a much smoother recovery than someone who gets there 6 weeks postpartum and has no idea how to turn her pelvic floor on. So now that we understand why it's important to do pelvic floor exercise, let's talk about how. My first suggestion is if you are experiencing any symptoms, and understanding that there's such different variety in pelvic floor tone from overactive to underactive, to make sure that you seek advice from a women's health physio. You can do that with me in person on the Sunshine Coast or telehealth, and I can talk you through and give you basically a video of how to self-assess the pelvic floor so that you can work out what's going on. But working out then exactly whether you can do different variety of contractions and what tone the pelvic floor is really important so that the exercises can be individually tailored. But then much like any muscle in the body, what means to be strong is to have power, endurance, speed, and then function. So if you imagine the bicep muscle, for example, we need the bicep muscle to be able to contract quickly. Say if we were to drop a drink bottle and needed to reach out to grab it, we also need it to contract at 100%. If we're lifting something really heavy, we need strength in the contraction and power. But if we want to hold something for a while, we need that endurance, that ability to hold it for 20, 30 seconds, maybe a minute, 2 minutes. And then we also need it to be functional. We need the muscle not just to be able to work sometimes in certain positions, but through while we're walking, while we're moving, while we're talking, while we're holding. So the pelvic floor is no exception to all of these rules. And the pelvic floor should be worked on in these same ways. We should be practicing our quick contractions to build speed of the pelvic floor, which is really important when we cough or sneeze. Long, slow holds will train endurance. And sometimes it is that a woman has a strong pelvic floor, but she doesn't have a quick enough contraction. So she's leaking. Or she's got quick contractions but can't hold it for more than 5 seconds. It's important to understand that there's different elements to strength. And we know this when we think about gym training. We understand this in the world of training the rest of our body. But when it comes to the pelvic floor and Kegels, it is still very misunderstood. So quick contractions, long, slow holds to train endurance. I also suggest different intensities. And if you imagine it's no use owning a brand new car that only drives well at 100 kilometers an hour if you live in the city. So in the same way, the pelvic floor is no use if it can only function in one way. If you can only turn it on 100%, but you can't turn it on at 50% or 20%, but we need it to work in those ways, then it's not as functional. It's not going to be as efficient in certain situations. So training it at different intensities is really important. And sometimes I diagnose women with what I call an all or nothing pelvic floor, which means they've got a good ability to turn it on and turn it off, but there's no in between. There's no ability to hold it for 20 seconds at 50%. There's no ability to hold it at different intensities for longer periods. And then there's maximum contractions. It's important to build maximum contractions to build overall strength and power. And this is much like if you were training at the gym and you wanted to keep building strength, you'd do things like 1 or 8 rep max, where you're really focusing on building power and hypertrophy of the muscle. And last but certainly not least is functionality. So being able to do your pelvic floor exercises, not just while you're laying down. We spend most of our day walking around, so you need to practice in functional positions, sitting, standing, when moving, with exercise. So it's really important to try and focus on pelvic floor exercises in a variety of positions. And I think this is where a lot of women's health physios fell down years ago, is that we focus so much on specifically training, just relaxing, laying down on our backs and assessing on our backs, when that's not how we live our lives. So really important. Sometimes I have women that can contract really well when they're laying flat. But then because of the weight of gravity, if they have a slight prolapse, it's going to be much, much harder to work against gravity when they're sitting or standing. And that's when they might be symptomatic. Or if you're symptomatic with jumping, we need to train the pelvic floor to be able to contract while you're jumping. To start pelvic floor exercises, you can start from the get-go. I tell women generally to start as early as they can and they feel comfortable, and to just practice turning on and off for the number of weeks old that Bub is. So at 1 week old, doing every time you breastfeed, 10 contractions for 1 second. At 2 weeks, 10 contractions for 2 seconds. At 3 weeks, 10 contractions for 3 seconds. Because even if it is tears or an episiotomy scar, that little contraction, if it just for 1 second or 2 seconds, is actually going to promote blood supply. to the area, which is going to help with healing of the scar and the stitches. All right, guys, I hope that you've learned something. I hope you've enjoyed this, and I hope you now understand the importance of keeping your pelvic floor strong and how to focus on different contractions during pregnancy.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and share this with other pregnant women or other women that you think deserve to understand this information. It is my mission to share this knowledge with women because this is something that I believe that we should all be taught.